what our lab is, and that is a team environment. We work and move things forward. We fail as a team. We win as a team. We see people move forward to their careers, you know, whatever that direction may be. But, you know, we do it all together as a team. And that is really important to me as a lab leader and somebody who runs a lab to be able to have that.
Talking with Sandy Billinger on the show today. Sandy was suggested multiple times. Of course, we have the segment on the show, which is three questions. And one of those questions we ask our guests is, who should the audience know more about? And Sandy came up four or five different times, and we finally get her on the show. She's an associate professor at an academic medical center and lead research laboratory, and she serves as the neurovascular division director at KU Alzheimer's Disease Center. So she's got a lot of things going on in and around the profession that are really interesting to you if you're working with patients in that setting. So glad to have her on the show. Show is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs looking for certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment and training you need to apply it properly in your clinical practice. Find out more information at OwensRecoveryScience.com and their brand new podcast, Talk It All Things BFR, Getting in Depth with Johnny and his team. On iTunes right now, it is the Owens Recovery Science podcast.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
Welcome aboard.
This is the PT Pintcast. Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
I want to say thank you guys for listening and telling a friend and sharing the episodes online. I know you're doing this because we can see it on our social media accounts at PT Pintcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, the whole nine. But we can tell just by how many downloads we've been getting. And, you know, since the whole COVID-19 situation has really hit, we've seen downloads increase because I think people are looking for different outlets, people are looking for different things to listen to and focus on in this time when a lot of us are inundated with, you know, information from the news and the major media outlets. So glad we can be that sort of outlet to give you some normalcy about your profession. And that's what we try to do. Sandy Billinger is on the show right there. Sandy, appreciate you coming on the program.
My pleasure. I'm happy to be here.
Sandy, what's your job title? What do you get to do? Because you've been mentioned. We have a segment on the show where we let our current guest let the audience know about people they should know more about. And you've come up four or five times. So we had to reach out and wanted to get you on the show. So no pressure or anything like that. You've got to live up to four or five different guests highlighting you.
That is a lot of pressure. but it's, you know, I'm glad that... to have the referral and to have the opportunity to be on such a great and informative show.
So your job title is associate professor at an academic medical center and lead research laboratory. Tell us about what that is like and what do you get to do? What's your day to day?
Well, just like in the clinic, day to day varies depending on what's going on in the laboratory setting. Probably the most consistent is when I teach. I do teach cardiopulmonary physical therapy in our program here at KU Medical Center. But I really enjoy research. For me, that's where my passion lies, to try to, you know, disentangle some of the heart and brain interactions. I love mentoring students. I love having DPT students in my research laboratory. And we might be able to talk to about this later, but one of my former DPT student trainees actually changed the way we look at our brain blood flow measures in our lab.
Well, let's start with that. We'll talk just a little bit about that, and that's got to feel good when you see, you know, former students changing the way, you know, a profession or the world thinks about something.
Yeah, so we have a great opportunity for our students. They get to do a summer immersion in research, and it's through a T32 research training program that Dr. Randy Nudo leads here on our campus. And one of our students, we were in a project, and her smaller project was to look at the change in blood flow in older adults. We use transcranial Doppler ultrasound to measure that, both at rest and exercise. And she looked at the change score, or actually the change in that. And it really isn't anything that hasn't been done before or measured, but it was the way she presented it got me thinking about a way to model the change in blood flow velocity from rest to exercise. And so we created a an exponential model that has been used in oxygen uptake or muscle blood flow, and now we characterize that in the brain.
Wow, that's got to feel really, really, I mean, I wouldn't even know where to begin to say, you know, how that might feel to see, you know, a former student changing something on such a large level.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she was in here in the summer and was working on this, and I always give her credit for that because it was the conversations that we had. And I'll give her a shout out. It's Sarah Kwapaszewski. You know, she really kind of drove that conversation and just really got me thinking about this bigger picture and the way that we could look at it just in a different way. It certainly changed the way we've looked at some things in our lab and have published 4 or 5 papers on this methodology and how we're using it. In people, older adults who may or may not have elevated beta amyloid in their brains, and then also in people with stroke.
Wow, that is really unique. You've got a pretty unique journey to where you are right now, and I wanted to highlight where you are right now, but started out with a little bit of a non-traditional career as a dental assistant and then turned academic. How'd that come about?
Well, I was a dental assistant, and I was actually going home for lunch. I was pregnant with my son and was in a really bad car accident. Changed my whole life. That moment changed my whole life.
Wow.
Not only did my car end up in a completely different direction, but so did my life. In this journey back to some sense of normalcy, with the damage I sustained, I couldn't go back to being a dental assistant. You know, nobody wants dental tools dropped down their throat because they don't, you know, the assistant doesn't have feeling in their hand. I'm sure everybody can relate to that. So I wasn't able to go back to work. And I spent a little bit of time working various jobs, and I just missed being in some form of patient care. And so I grew up in Western Kansas, and they were going to get a physical therapy program. But unfortunately, they, due to budget cuts, decided not to open that program. And I started looking around the country at different programs, and KU Medical Center had a joint PT, PhD program. And so in my journey, I was actually very much into cardiac rehabilitation and started working with people with stroke. And that sparked my research interest as I was going back to school to get my bachelor's degree, even. And so somebody had told me, you know, you should go get a PhD. You really seem like you enjoy research. Had no idea what I was getting into. I was young, and I was like, sure, why not? So that's how I became an academic.
Wow. So a car accident long ago really, really, you know, quite literally spun your career around and changed it completely.
Absolutely, it did. It absolutely did. And, you can always say, oh, that was such a hard time, but it gave me an opportunity to find a career path that I fully love and enjoy every day.
I love that. I love stories like that. And especially the ending there is that you're doing something you love and you feel fulfilled with every day. So let's talk about some of the things that you and now your team in the lab work on. What are some of the things that excite you guys? And what are the things that you put a lot of your efforts towards?
Well, right now we are trying to really understand the role of cardiovascular health and overall brain health. And, you know, I've said this for a while that what you do that's good for your heart is good for your brain. We just had a publication come out in the Cardiopulmonary Physical Therapy Journal. If anybody's interested, it talks about cardiovascular risk and how we as physical therapists and physical therapist assistants should be, you know, talking to our patients and assessing, you know, their cardiovascular risk because it does have important implications for brain health. I think that's one really important trajectory that we're on. We're also in a collaborative multi-site trial with the University of Delaware and the University of Cincinnati. Dr. Pierce Boyne is leading this effort, but it's a high-intensity interval training program for people after stroke to see which exercise doses actually plays a bigger role in walking recovery. So those are the two primary, you know, projects in our lab right now.
And KU is a major, major center for Alzheimer's research. A lot of that is being done. We've had Eric Vedoni on the show before talking about that. Now, for someone who's never worked in a lab, do the people in different labs, are you guys talking to each other about what you're doing? You know, do you guys have happy hours where you get to kind of crosstalk and gain insight into what everybody else is doing with their own projects? Does that happen?
Absolutely, it does. I am a big proponent, and I'm very grateful to the KU Alzheimer's Disease Center because they are too. We really focus on that idea of team science and branching across many disciplines. I mean, we have a I love this. We have a kidney researcher, a nephrologist, Dr. Didi Gupta. She calls herself a neuronephrologist because she's interested in kidney health and brain health. And so then you have, you know, me coming at it from cardiovascular, but there's certainly overlap between kidney, heart, and then all of it into the brain. And so absolutely, we have a weekly journal club that they call J.Crew that we do every Friday. And so anybody is welcome. There is so much crosstalk with our KU Alzheimer's Disease Center, dietetics and nutrition. You know, there's just so much that involves with that. So we're very fortunate here to have that on our campus.
Yeah, that's great. I read books about, you know, ideas and thought process every once in a while. And for the life of me, I can't remember which one I'm referring to, but they talked about how a lot of advances in a particular field typically come out of different fields. It's when, you know, you're talking about, you know, cerebral vascular function and you're watching a plumber unplug your sink and you're saying, wait a second, I can apply some theories of plumbing into brain research. It's a lot of time it's borrowing from things that are further away from the thing you're working on than it is closer.
I agree. I think it definitely has a lot of truth to it. Dr. Randy Newdow is one of the premier researchers in neuroplasticity and looking at rewiring of the brain. And he tells this great story about his dad was a TV electrician. And that's where he learned and thought about his work and growing up and being an apprentice and helping his dad. Helped him in his research career. So you're right on.
Yeah, it's interesting when people have, and it's unique that you bring up neuroplasticity, but an ability to see what you can learn from other completely unrelated fields and how that might actually benefit the problem that you've been going around and around in a circle on. I saw a quote somewhere on social media said, if you can only find one solution to a problem, you don't understand the problem well. So being able to borrow from different fields and different thought processes is probably the only way we're going to get innovation.
I agree. That's a great quote.
I love that one. I'd love to take credit for that one, but I think that was Einstein. So I'll give him credit for that one. Talking about a novel methodology for measuring cerebrovascular function during exercise, how does someone do that in clinic? Someone listening right now, what's that novel methodology you worked on?
Well, the novel methodology is more of the that kinetics, that exponential modeling that we use. So clinically, I think that that's going to be harder for somebody to do. You know, we use very simply transcranial Doppler ultrasound.
Right.
So if somebody had access to that, they use that in the intensive care units, you know, specifically after stroke or maybe after brain surgery. But we're hoping to simplify that in various different ways. So hopefully we can get to where we could use that more robustly in the clinic. With concussion research, there's certainly more methodologies and ultrasound machines that are more handheld.
Mm-hmm.
They're becoming more readily available and easier to use. So hopefully down the road, we'd be able to integrate some of our technology into something that's more portable and easier to use.
Yeah, the applications would be pretty unique. The more you see cell phones being able to be used for different devices when the application of portable technology can make its way into the clinic, things start to get really interesting when you can start to put them in the hands of clinicians who are working with patients in real time.
Yeah, I mean we've talked about different ways to do that, and now with, you know, all the discussion, I hate to bring it back around to COVID-19, but I was thinking with telehealth, imagine if we could somehow build the ultrasound machine into something portable that we could send to the participant and maybe, you know, monitor them during their exercise at home. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. Well, I mean, necessity is the mother of invention. A month ago, as we record here on the 31st of March, a month ago, there was, of course, a lot of discussion about telehealth, but a lot of the people who were, quote, in the know were saying, well, this is at least years away, and our profession has scrambled and trying to organize to figure out what exactly that landscape looks like. So the next time there's an innovation, we jump on top of it, which is a great thing to see people doing.
It is. It is. And like you said, I think at times of crisis or innovation, sometimes that's where you get the creative responses and people put forth novel ideas to improve patient care and human life.
Sometimes you just got to put your sneakers on and do the hard work, though. You did walk across Kansas. Is that exactly what I think it sounds? I mean, Kansas is pretty huge.
Yes, it is. Take it from somebody that walked across it.
So you literally walked from one side of Kansas to the other with your son.
We did. We did it. So the story behind that, I always have stories behind things.
That's good.
Yeah, we really should be sitting somewhere with those beverages in hand and talking about this. But my son, I was pregnant with him when I had the car accident. And when we did walk across Kansas, it was 20 years past my car accident, and he was getting ready to leave home to go to college. And he had this idea for doing his, you know, man journey or whatnot. And he was going to, he talked about doing some kind of a walk. And, you know, it just kind of grew into this, well, you're, you know, leaving for college, May is Stroke Awareness Month. Why don't we do this journey together? So it was just he and I. We got dropped off at the Colorado-Kansas state line.
Wow.
Let me tell you, that's a really odd feeling, knowing that you have to, the only way you're going to get back is on your own 2 feet. So we followed the Santa Fe Trail, which is part of a national trail, and learned a lot about the history of Kansas. But yes, walked across it, had a lot of great stories that came out of that. We did it to raise money for the equipment that I have in my lab now, so that we could do this work and in building something that I had this vision for, and what I could see the importance of cerebrovascular health.
Wow, that's unique. You're pregnant with your son, you know, unfortunately during your car accident, but that changes the course of your career. And then 20 years later, walking across Kansas, what's the ballpark distance, and how long did that take you for that journey?
So it's 570 miles. At one point I said, whoever said I would walk 500 miles.
The Proclaimers.
500 more had never walked 500
miles.
Yeah,
that was the twins, the Proclaimers out of Scotland. That's a great story. Then 20 years later, he's doing a project. You guys tie it together with a great stroke month, and you raise money for the equipment you're still using in your lab today?
That is correct.
Wow. That is a cool story. See, I like people like you that have cool stories behind all these different little things. That's how we learn. That's the reason podcasts work so well, is we learn better by conversation over presentation.
Yeah, I agree.
The PT Podcast. We'll be right back.
Do you want to improve your skills as an orthopedic physical therapist? Do you want to practice at the top of your profession? Have you ever thought about earning your orthopedic clinical specialist certification? Well, imagine how great it would feel to go into the OCS examination feeling confident and prepared that you'll pass on your first attempt. If you were given a plan that was simple to follow, if you were given lessons that were easy to understand, and you were given sample tests that sharpened your skills. However you're comfortable studying, the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy's Current Concepts course can make you more prepared and confident for the OCS examination. But it can't help you unless you take the first step and make the investment. And today is your chance. Go to orthopt.org and take the Current Concepts course from the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy. That's orthopt.org and the Current Concepts course from the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy.
Keep up with the show online, ptpinecast.com, and on the socials, at ptpinecast.
New Step created the first product of its kind 25 years ago. That was the New Step Recumbent Cross Trainer. Now it's a mainstay in rehab with physical therapists worldwide. New Step now continues its tradition of innovation with the New Step Transit, another innovation in recumbent cross trainers for physical therapists, delivering real-time biofeedback with this piece of equipment, letting you use it in meaningful ways for awareness of physical performance, goals, identifying and correcting deficits or imbalances. Take a test drive or find out more at newstep.com. That's NUstep.com. Online at newstep.com.
And we're back. Let's get back to the show.
Here with Sandy on the show, talking about, since you work in academia, working with students, you've already referred to one of your students and a great accomplishment they've achieved. Roles and thoughts on mentoring. This comes up a lot, especially with PT students. And here's my insight into why. I think the American education system is set up great. or not great, depending on how you're looking at it, but it's set up very, very linearly, right? First grade, and then comes second grade, then comes eighth grade, then comes 12th grade. And then all of a sudden you get to a program where all of a sudden you start looking around, right? And your class sizes start to get smaller because you're doing things that are more and more specific. And that's why I think students start to look on mentoring, is because, speaking for myself, I was so used to always having a teacher the next year and knowing I was going to have that one-on-one connection with an educator. So that's why I think it's so important. What are your thoughts on mentoring, and how does that come into play with what you get to do with students?
I agree. Mentoring is so important. And, you know, I will say, even though I serve as a mentor, it's always important to have mentors or people that you can reach out to throughout your career. And so, you know, even though I mentor students, DPT students, as part of their research practicum or perhaps in, you know, in class in different ways, but a lot of times they reach back out to me when it comes to questions about residency or what they should do or how to prepare for an interview. And then, you know, even beyond that, they continue to reach back out as far as clinical practice. Or if they see something that I would find interesting, they'll bring it back to me to share with, you know, future classes. So I think that that type of mentoring and building those relationships is so important, because you learn from each other both ways. And, you know, every time I start my classes when I teach, you know, I tell people that, you know, this is a two-way street. I learn just as much from your experiences and your questions as the information that I have for you. So I try to work with the DPT students in those ways. And then those in my lab, you know, I've just been so fortunate to always have really very inquisitive, very creative students in the lab. And some want a research career, are interested, and some don't, but they're all just been really great and dedicated to the projects we have and really being a part of the team. And I think that is something that I just enjoy, watching them grasp onto projects or, you know, have their own creative thought or ideas. And I always tell them, never be afraid to ask questions, because you're new when you come. You're seeing things for the first time,
right,
that we might be missing or we might not see.
How do you foster that? Is it as simple as saying it, literally, just actually saying, hey, we love questions, feel free. But I'm sure, especially at the level you're at, myself included, I would come in and say, well, yeah, what am I actually going to bring to this equation? But how do you foster that, I guess, comfortability with a student where they actually feel comfortable enough to bring and start off a sentence by saying, hey, I got kind of a crazy idea, I wanted to see what you think? Because it takes a little bit of confidence to be able to bring that to someone that they're officially learning from and being mentored by.
I think that's a really important part. And one of the things I do when I interview students for positions in the lab, I also emphasize the role of a team environment, and that we all work together, and that everybody's contribution is important, and that hopefully they feel that way. And I open the door and say, well, if this is not the feeling or the vibe that you get from our lab team, I need, you know, please feel free to come to me, because I want to be able to talk about it. And you're right, you know, hopefully that, you know, it may not allow for every student. They may or may not feel comfortable with those conversations, but it's also the lab team. You know, again, when I interview people for positions, they have to embrace and fit, you know, what our lab is, and that is a team environment. We work and move things forward. We fail as a team. We win as a team. We see people move forward to their careers, you know, whatever that direction may be, but, you know, we do it all together as a team. And that is really important to me as a lab leader and somebody who runs a lab, to be able to have that. So if they can't come to me, hopefully they'll feel comfortable going to somebody and maybe bounce that idea off of them or ask them a question. And then maybe they come to me and say, you know, here's what we're finding, or here's what we see.
Sounds like building culture to me, Sandy. That sounds exactly like, you know, focusing on culture and less on hierarchy to make someone feel comfortable enough to be vulnerable.
I hope that's, you know, the message that they get. But yes, that is something that I really strive to create in our laboratory, whether again, you have a PhD and you're a postdoctoral fellow, or you're, a DBT student or a research assistant. We all work together, and that's the way I see it, that we're moving the field forward through our efforts together as a team.
Love it. If you want to follow along, Sandy, you're on Twitter. It's at Sandy_ReachLAB, so Sandy_ReachLAB. Any website people can take a look at to find information about your lab? I don't really know how that works. Do you guys share stuff as you're doing it?
We have a lab Facebook page. I think I'm the most active on Twitter and try to put forth, information through Twitter about, publications. I certainly, it's important for me to highlight the trainees. So I try to do that as well on Twitter. But we do have a lab Facebook page. You can Google Reach Lab and Facebook. And then, we do have a laboratory webpage. And so you can find information about that. It's not a short URL, so I just tell people to Google Reach Lab and Billinger, and they'll find it.
They'll find it. Cool. We have a feature on the show, Sandy, called Three Questions. Are you ready for this one?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
On the hot seat with Three Questions on the PT Pinecast.
Three Questions brought to you by Arias Medical Staffing, the number one leader in travel physical therapy. And even in this time of COVID-19, travel physical therapists, travel PTAs, and other allied health professionals needed in different areas to move about the country. So you can check out where there are positions in all different settings at Arias. The website is AURUSmedical.com. That is AURUSmedical.com. So if you're looking for in this situation, some people are being let go, unfortunately. So you're looking for employment and looking to help different areas in need, check out Arias at AURUSmedical.com. So the first question, since it's travel physical therapy, Sandy, is a where question. Where would you want to go within the 50 U.S. states, once we're free to move about the country again, when we get a feeling of normalcy? Where's someone you'd want to travel?
State of Washington. I love hiking, and there's some trails up there that I would love to, if I could live for 3 months and spend the weekends on the trails, that's an area where I'd love to explore.
Yeah, gorgeous country up there. Was fortunate enough to spend some time there, and that's the cool part about something like Travel PT is you can do exactly that. Monday through Friday, you can be doing the thing that you want to be, which is a great physical therapist in the setting you want to do it, and then wherever you happen to be for that 3 month period, that's what your weekends are, and you get the backyard of some mountains and some trails in something like Washington State. So that's a good pick. Second question is a what question. What's something you've watched, read, or listened to that you'd suggest to the audience? Something that was really memorable.
For me, I found the book I Am Malala to be completely awe-inspiring, and to know that somebody followed a belief that they had, and survived what she did to be an advocate today. I really enjoyed that book.
Give us the breakdown on that one. I haven't read that one.
So Malala is was a female in Pakistan, and she really advocated that girls should have education. She was shot by a member of the Taliban and survived, and continues to advocate for free education for women across the globe.
Wow. I remember hearing about that story. Didn't realize that there was a book about it. We'll have to check that one out. Great selection.
Yes, absolutely. I highly recommend it.
Third question is how we got you on the show, Sandy, is a who question. Who is someone the audience should know more about, and maybe a little bit about why?
I think Jessica Berglund would be a great person to have on the show. I think she's an advocate for physical activity and in the PT profession. She's been very creative about delivering exercise programming within her PT environment. I know she's been a big advocate of the health promotion and wellness group and driving that forward along with many other members. But she stood out to me that she would be somebody that more people need to get to know.
Perfect. You're off the hot seat, so you can relax for a sec. That's three questions brought to you by Arias Medical Staffing. Again, leaders in travel PT and, of course, emergency staffing needs. So if you're looking to help out different communities in this country, positions in all 50 states, all settings, AURUSmedical.com, and check that out there, AURUSmedical.com. Last thing we do on the show, Sandy, is called your parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
Rock Tape, the world's leading kinesiology tape, is bringing you your parting shot. More than just a tape company, though, a movement company, giving you the classes, the education, and yes, the world's leading kinesiology tape to get your patients moving stronger, longer. Find out more information about Rock Tape and how you can apply with your patients at rocktape.com/medical. That's rocktape.com/medical. This is really just your chance for a kind of a mic drop moment or your sentiment or whatever quote that you like to impart upon your students on a regular basis. What's parting shot material as we wrap up your episode?
I think it will sum up what I have done, and I really like this quote. And when I've done talks, it's good to do uncomfortable things. It's Weight Training for Life by Anne Lamott from Daily Calm.
Wow. Well said. That fits our profession pretty well. Appreciate you coming on the show in the middle of a little bit of chaos, bringing some great stories and some good insight. So thank you so much for coming on the program. Appreciate it to finally have you on here.
Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate it very much. It's been fun.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
If you're looking for education past your physical therapy degree, look no further than Brooks IHL. That's Brooks Rehabilitation Institute of Higher Learning. You can find out more at brooksihl.org. Continuing education along with residencies and fellowships. Residencies in orthopedics, geriatrics, women's health, neurologic PT, pediatrics, sports, and a fellowship opportunity as well. So look into it if you're looking to expand your knowledge base. brooksihl.org. Our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
to providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.